Okay. Can you hear me? Is it working? Good. Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After this, I looked, and behold, in heaven, an open door. Sorry, I forgot. This is from the book of Revelation. After this, I looked, and behold, in heaven, an open door. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there appeared like jasper and carnelian, and round the throne was a rainbow that looked like an emerald. Round the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns upon their heads. From the thrones issue flashes of lightning and voices and peals of thunder, and before the throne burn 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there is, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And round the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures, each of them with 6 wings, are full of eyes all round and within, and day and night they never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Lord, we thank you that though we went far from you, that you have not remained far from us, that you have come searching for humanity, that you have found us and brought us to participate in the glory of your heavenly worship. We ask your blessing on our lesson today. Please fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit so we may love you more and more each day. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Do you remember anything from last week? Last week was about the offertory. Any of the images or examples that stuck with you last week about the offertory?
The sacrifice is our undivided love of our heart for God.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, the heart of sacrifice is the undivided love of the human person. Yeah, very good. Your own love. Yeah, okay, so that's great. With the water and wine, this is the big important symbol of our humanity being joined to the divinity of Jesus, our ordinariness being joined to the glory of God and his grace. So every Mass, it's something to practice. Actually, if you ever did the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, it's a catechesis program, and for little kids, it's like Montessori-based, but they have these little kids just take a little cup, and I think it's grape juice, but they pour just slowly, kind of contemplatively, they pour in some grape juice, maybe it is wine, I don't know, and then they take a little water and they pour just a few drops of water in, and then they just take turns, like each person goes around the room and does this. But having done that, having sort of prayed through it as like a 6-year-old, they probably understand this better than most of the adults in church, you know, who haven't ever meditated on that. So yeah, it's a powerful symbol.
Contemplation, like us bringing our sacrifice.
Yeah, it's halftime. Yeah, I zone out during that time too. Yeah. I remember this homily from this priest in Denver where basically the heart of the homily, what kept repeating was like this urgent question to God, what is to be my sacrifice? What is my offering to you? And it was sort of like this fearful, kind of anxious, like, I can't find something pleasing to you, Lord. You know, like, what am I to offer? And it was, I mean, the perspective was wonderful, but yeah, let's get into the heart of that. This is the time of offering. This is it. We want to make a difference with this, with the time we spend in this little class. So does anybody have graces to share, a difference that this has made in your own prayer or going to Mass or anything like that from last week's class or anything before that? What kind of results, what kind of difference have you seen it make? Good. Okay. I'm really glad. Yeah. I would imagine. I mean, the question is, well, why is that? Why do you get that kind of result? But there's a bunch of reasons that are possible, I guess. But simply giving some attention, spending some time each week, focusing on this and drawing it to your attention, can sort of break out of that routine. And I'm glad. I'm really happy that's the result so far.
So I wasn't actually here last week, but one thing that really struck me was the thing that followed. The offertory, when we say as the entire church, the congregation, may the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name and for our good and in the good of all his holy church. Mm-hmm. There was a talk given by Father Mike Schmitz where he talks about that. And it's really wonderful when he's like, that's your sacrifice and you're offering it for the glory of God and for everyone around you and everyone in heaven and everyone who is part of the church. And it really opens yourself up to like accepting this idea of being an offering to it all.
Yeah. When people share in the front, can you hear in the back, or should I repeat it? Can you hear most of that? Okay. They say more or less. Yeah. Yeah. No. I just think of that like you point out that none of the prayers are accidental. That they all have meaning. That all the parts are on purpose. And there's a lot to break down into it. Thank you. One thing I have noticed, actually, is that daily Mass is the best time to pray, because you got all these good and holy people who are trying to do the same thing you're doing. But I have noticed like the intensity and the quiet is different than it was like several weeks ago, and I can see a change in when all of you are here. I can see a change in the way that you approach it, and it's like not really. It is tangible, but you can't like point to like, oh, well, they have their eyes closed now, or now they're like. Looking more intently or something, but there's just like something like a sense in the air. So that's really, it helps me a lot to pray too. So today we're gonna talk about the offertory. And the first thing, of course, is that, what's the purpose? Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. We're gonna talk about the Sanctus, the prayer that we pray after the altar is set, after we pray the Orate Fratres, pray brothers and sisters, when we have prayed then the prayer over the offerings, and the preface, which is usually chanted. I mean, again, there is so much to say about all these things, but we're gonna skip past them for another class and go to after the preface, where we sing, Holy, 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 Lord God of Hosts. So the purpose, if you, you don't have to answer, but please put together an answer in your head. If you were gonna say, what is the purpose of singing the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 which again, the purpose is the description of what is actually happening. Not just, there are people saying words in church, or maybe singing words in church. What's actually happening when we sing and pray, Holy, Holy, Holy? There's a bunch of ways to say it, but this is how I would say it. The church on earth joins in the worship of God, which is being done by the church in heaven. Okay, so there's the church in heaven, they're worshiping God for all eternity, and the church on earth, all of us who are kind of distant, join in the very worship that is going on eternally in heaven. So this is what I mean. When we were in the beginning, we prayed from the book of Revelation. which is where the hymn Holy, Holy, Holy comes from. You heard all that stuff about thrones and elders and animals around the throne with the one seated on the throne. And it says the four living animals sing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord, the God of hosts. And then it says, and all the elders threw down their crowns and fell on their faces. So this is an image. It says there was a door open to heaven. This is an image, a revelation of the worship of God that goes on in heaven, and symbols that we can kind of understand. There are other things in here that you'll recognize. Like, why does the priest wear a white robe underneath everything? How come the altar servers wear a white robe or black with a white robe? Because it says those joining in the worship of the Lamb, they're clothed in white robes. So this is where we get this symbol too. But this is not the first time in the Bible that we hear this hymn. We're going to go back to Isaiah, to chapter 6. Just read 8 verses from this. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So again, this is like revelation. There is the Lord on the throne. This is a revelation to those on earth of what is going on in heaven. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. With 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now this keeps getting better, but we're going to pause there because that's all we need for our purposes. So Isaiah sees into the heavenly temple, the worship of the Lord, and he sees the seraphim crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And his response is, Woe is me, I am doomed, for I have seen the Lord. Like, he has seen the eternal God being worshiped in heaven, because he knows he's a man of unclean lips. You notice that in the preface, which comes just before we sing, Holy, 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 There's a beautiful prayer that points to something that the Lord has done, some glory of his, some way that we respond and give him thanks. But then it ends, and so we sing with all the choirs of angels and all the saints in heaven, Holy, holy, holy. At the end of every preface, it says the same thing. And so with the choirs of angels and saints, we sing forever the hymn of your glory as we acclaim, or without end we acclaim. You know, those sorts of things. It's pointing again to this. Now here's the point. First of all, that we, praying to God on earth, we're not the original, we're not the best, we're like the pretenders who are trying to do well, but really doing things poorly, okay? The actual worship of God is going on in heaven all the time, and we're trying to imitate that, we're trying to participate in it. Every church is supposed to be a little copy, a little image of the heavenly temple. And we are supposed to be the saints in heaven. But it's not just that we're like the fakers or the pretenders or the noobs that are trying to do something good. It also points to the fact that we are not worshiping from afar. That our participation in the worship in heaven is real. That the heavenly liturgy we get to enter into. And so in paradise, in glory, where there is no more sin and no more trouble and no more darkness, where the saints and angels forever sing the hymn of glory in peace and light and joy, we get to enter into that in a real way. We borrow their hymn, we take their words, and we sing what they are always singing. We borrow their song and we step into what they're doing. Because we participate in what is heavenly, but also because what is heavenly, the object of all the heavenly worship, God himself, is here with us. And so we get to sing the song that the saints and angels sing when they're looking upon the face of God, because he is here with us. So here's something to imagine. I mean, you can look in the book of Revelation and there are many more descriptions of the heavenly liturgy, but call to mind this: millions and billions of angels and saints around the heavenly throne, finally singing the glory of God when there is no more sorrow or trouble or anything like that. It's a little bit like in high school. I was in an orchestra, and actually, this is from before high school. When I was in like eighth grade, I was in an orchestra, and because we were in eighth grade, we weren't very good, and it was in Holland. But we had this opportunity to play with the members of the Holland Symphony Orchestra. So basically they'd split you up. So there was a professional musician and then you, and then the next stand was professional and then your classmate or whatever. And we played the same song. Now for them, they could sleep through it, you know? And we were all kind of struggling and faking and just trying to keep up because we were not that good. But this was like, it was really cool. We got to play with the pros. They knew what they were doing and we were like, we sound good. But it wasn't so much because of us. This is what it's like. The saints and angels who know how to praise God, who do not have divided hearts anymore, who can give themselves entirely to the Lord and offer this sacrifice, we get to sit next to them as we sing holy, holy, holy. And we're of course the goobery 10-year-olds who are like faking it, just trying to keep up with the notes, you know? Hey, well, look, I'm playing with the pros. To sing the holy, 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 no matter what is going on at Mass, is almost always like a joy that breaks through for me, because it's this reminder and this like it becomes immediate that what you so long for and what you hope for as a Christian and like the day that you so desire is already here. It's already existing. It's already here. Let me try and explain this. You know how when you see, I don't know if you ever get this sense, you know, like you just get kind of fed up with your own inability to live the Christian life well, and then other people, you're like, well, they're hypocrites too, and they're like, they're not even trying, and like my pastor is no good, and I've never met a good priest, and everything's just falling apart. It gets really discouraging because you're like, what? This is not what it's supposed to be. Is it even possible? And it can really like drag you down. To sing the holy, holy, holy is to remember like the church as we see it is a small part of the church. It's the least part of the church. It's only one little fraction, but the church in glory is already worshiping God, and what you so long for is true and real, and we enter into it at Mass right at this moment. And so it's like a time of rest and relief for me. Like, we don't have to wonder or wait, but it's done. Like, this is heaven. This is the saints and angels with God, and we praise him in freedom and glory and love. In one book that I was reading, it's out there, it's called Singing the Holy, Holy, Holy Sanctus. We do something that is nearly insupportable in its solemnity, to sing the holy, 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 because this is the song that is sung when the angels and saints look upon the face of God, the face that makes Isaiah quake and fear for his life, the face that makes the mountains melt and the sea dry up, the face of God. This is why it says it is nearly insupportable in its solemnity. Here's the tip. We were reading in the book of Revelation at the beginning. It says, the four living creatures sing this song, holy, holy, holy. The elders, it says, throw down their crowns and they fall to their knees. They fall face down before the throne and the one who is upon the throne. You notice at Mass, we sing the holy, 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 and then we immediately kneel down. It can feel kind of like a formality. It can even feel mechanical because all of a sudden the whole church is like, you know, or it's usually not that neat. Usually there's like kneelers slamming and things like that. But when you kneel down, that can be like a little reminder like, whoa, not only are we singing their song, but we are doing what we will do in heaven. We're doing what the saints and angels are already doing in heaven. We sing the song of the Lord's glory, and then we fall to our knees. The symbols we were going to talk about today, but we were out of time for, is just the difference between standing and sitting and kneeling. So you can do this at home, actually. In human culture, what do these things mean? In the Bible, when people assume these postures, what do these mean? When you read about it in the book of Revelation or in the gospel, when people stand or sit or kneel, what does it mean? It's supposed to speak a language. It's like the reason you remove your hat when you enter a building, you know, or the reason why you stand up when someone who you respect enters the room. It's worth having a conversation afterward, but we're not going to do that right now. But all that is intentional during Mass also. So let's stand and pray.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have revealed your goodness and glory and beauty and power throughout history and even in our own lives. Faced with this glimpse of your glory, cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a book or two that's new in the back. If you want to borrow one of those for a couple days, then you're free to. Just please bring them back before next week. Thank you.